In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family conversation. It's great to be with you as always, and today being Sunday, we rejoice in the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And we begin our conversation always by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And also we cry out to Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope in the Hail Holy Queen. So let's start our conversation by turning to Mary, lifting our eyes, our mind, our heart to Mary. Mary is truly our mother. She is also our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's pray the prayer that she loves most. And that's the Hail Mary together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we'd like to invite our spiritual director to be with us. And our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Among the many titles we have for the Holy Spirit are the following. Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit also is known to be our Consoler. In the midst of our desolation and our trials, the Holy Spirit is our Consoler. And the Holy Spirit is also our Counselor. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, also highlights the fact that the Holy Spirit is our interior master. St. Paul says that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's lift up our gaze to the Holy Spirit and beg Him to give us a lot of light, an interior fire to burn within our hearts. As we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Well, Lady Fatima, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us. St. Gabriel, pray for us. St. Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Yes, my friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Every Sunday, my friends, we celebrate a little Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For that reason, we say, this is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. The way in which we live out our Sundays to the fullest extent possible is we start off by participating in the greatest of all prayers. That prayer is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. There's nothing, absolutely nothing greater than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So, attend Mass, participate in Mass. Participate is Sacrosanctum Concilium, the dogmatic constitution on the Church from Vatican II says participate in Holy Mass fully, actively, and consciously. So, to give you encouragement, as always, I'll be praying for you today. This morning I have the Mass at 10 o'clock in the morning, the Spanish Mass, and I'll place you on the altar that God would bless you in very special ways. I'd like to place on the altar these intentions. First, that all of us would make a concerted effort to be open to the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, He's our teacher. So we pray that we be docile and open to the Holy Spirit as we start off this new week. You might say during the course of the day, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Beautiful prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention will be, I'd like to pray for your families, your children, your loved ones, but also this, that the primary educators of the children are the parents. That all of us as parents and priests and teachers, we would make a concerted effort to try to educate ourselves in the way of faith. That we would be in this process of permanent formation. Because we all know this, we can't give what we don't have. We should be perpetual learners sitting at the feet of the Master, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And every day in our Perseverance family conversation, we're trying to help you on with your ongoing formation by giving you talks basically on the Bible, but also the saints and moral and dogmatic issues. So let's work upon our growing in our faith. Finally, I'd like to pray in a special way for the conversion of sinners. And especially like to pray for the conversion of deathbed sinners, sinners that will be dying today. And finally, last night we started our new spiritual exercises program in the parish of St. Joseph in Pomona, and we had a good start. So I told the people who were coming to our program that I would pray for them. I would make a novena for them starting today, pray for them 9 days in a row in my Mass, that God would shower them with abundant blessings, invite you to pray for them. As well as this Thursday, we'll be starting another spiritual exercises program in Spanish. That will be in the city of Paramount in the church or parish of Saint Our Lady of the Rosary. So I'd like you to pray for those intentions. And pray for Father Craig, who will be leaving us on Tuesday. He'll be heading toward his new assignment, that God will bless him for these 12 years that he's been with us, blessing us in the parish with his presence. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. So, today, I would like to focus on the following. The readings, the Word of God, on Sunday we have three readings. First is taken from the prophet Amos, and the second is a letter of Paul to Timothy. The last is we're reading through the Gospel of St. Luke. Both the Gospel as well as Amos is a prophet who defends the social doctrine of the church, we might say. He's in defense of the poor that have been oppressed, the poor that have been neglected, the poor that have been taken advantage of, the plight of the poor. He's the mouthpiece in defense of the poor. The Gospel, you'll see, is a parable of Jesus Christ, which has a similar theme, but Jesus is also saying you can't serve God and money at the same time. You can't serve God and money at the same time. But my primary focus with you today will be in the letter of St. Paul to his disciple and spiritual child. His name is Timothy. And he says, "Beloved, first of all, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and for all authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life." Then the last verse, I'd like to jump down to the last verse, Paul says, "It is my wish then that in every place the men should pray, in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands, without anger or argument." So the beginning of this reading and the end is about prayer. So what I'd like to do today is taking St. Paul's letter to Timothy on prayer, different types of prayer, how we should pray, what we should avoid to have a prayer life, praying at all times. I'd like to give you some advice on how to improve our prayer life, taking St. Paul's letter as a starting point. I honestly believe we can never talk too much about prayer. We can never improve. We can never go beyond improving. That is to say, we can always improve more in our prayer life. Let's put it that way. So, I'd like to give you some positive, concrete suggestions that we'd all try to grow in our prayer life today, tomorrow, and always. I'd like to start off with a general comment to all of us. Myself, as priest and teacher, preacher for many years now, it must be said that I can teach you how to pray. I can give you definitions. I can offer you methods. I can talk about a certain school of prayer. I can give you a lot of biblical references, the Old Testament, the New Testament. I can do that with a certain facility because of the many years of experience that I have as a preacher and teacher and writer. However, I'd like to say this. I cannot give you the desire to pray. We have a New York expression, you can take the horse to water, but you can't force the horse to drink the water. And otherwise, I can point you to prayer. I can motivate you to pray. But for you to pray, you have to beg for the grace, to desire to pray. Yesterday, when I was giving my talk in Pomona, I was talking about prayer. And I told the people with great honesty that I'm humbly grateful to the Lord always for many graces and gifts that He's given to me. And we have to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, give thanks to the Lord for His good, for His mercy endures forever. However, in all this, I'm very thankful that God has given me, ever since I was small, a real drawing to prayer. I've always liked to pray. By no means do I say my prayer is perfect. I'm always a learner and striving to improve. But even as a child, a teenager, I always prayed. And I noticed a great gift that I had was when I was walking to school as a teenager, walking a couple miles. On the way, I'd pray maybe two rosaries walking to school when I was 14 or 15. And I recognized that that was an extraordinary gift that would be very uncommon among teenagers today. So I'm eternally grateful to the Father of all lights, the Father of all gifts, that He motivated me to want to pray. So I attribute this desire to God Himself, and I simply collaborated with it. I simply collaborated with it. So that is a background. One of the phrases that I've coined on prayer among several would be, what air is to the lungs, prayer is to the soul. That's worthy of memorizing. I say what air is to our lungs, so is prayer to the soul. Over the past 3 years, many people have been afflicted with the coronavirus and variants. And many have actually died, and one of the principal causes for the death is that it attacks your immune system, but also the pulmonary tract. That is to say, it attacks the lungs so that the lungs are not able to inhale and exhale air, resulting in death. So we can make a parallel between that in our own spiritual life. What air is to the lungs, so is prayer to our souls. So if we want to have a healthy spiritual life, we have to nourish our spiritual life by a dynamic, ever-growing prayer life. Teresa of Avila will define prayer as, prayer is simply spending a long time alone in friendship with the person that I know loves me. Spending a long time in silence alone. In love with the friend, amigo, amistad, friend that I know loves me. So time, friendship, and love. Those three words. Time, friendship, and love. So let's go through some practical points on how we can upgrade our prayer life. The first is the following. This may surprise you as related to prayer, but once I explain it, I think you'll see my thrust. And it's this. Actually making a good confession and a frequent confession can help us to upgrade our prayer life. Related to one of the Beatitudes, you want to read the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12, you've got the 8 Beatitudes, which is the start of the Sermon on the Mount. One of the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, is, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. So let me give you an example. Okay, it's spring cleaning. And one of your projects that you have to carry out in cleaning your house is that there's been a window in your basement that you have not cleaned in a long time. And that window, if you open up the shades, you can see outside. The sun comes in, you can see the outside. But you haven't cleaned it in a long time. So you go to the store, you get that Windex, that spray. So you get the Windex and you spray and you get a dry newspaper. And you start to rub the window. And you're rubbing away at the window, and then you're taking that dry newspaper and you're rubbing and you're cleaning. And you notice, before you sprayed the Windex, that window was sullied or splotched with a lot of dirt. The dirt that it's been accumulating for maybe a couple of years. And then after you spray and you take that dry newspaper and you're rubbing and rubbing, then you open up the curtains and the sun comes pouring forth into your room. You notice much more sun can pour into the room simply because of the purity, the transparency of that window. So by means of analogy, our soul can be compared to a window pane. That's right. Our soul can be compared to a window pane. And the Windex, in a certain sense, the blood of Christ that he shed on the cross for us on Good Friday. His precious blood serves to wash us clean, to purify, to sanctify us, to make us holy. Then, related to our topic of prayer, is the following. Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God." Now that the interior window pane of your soul and your mind has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, when you approach the Lord in prayer, you're able to contemplate the face of Christ with greater clarity. So there we have it. For many people, they really strive. To grow in their prayer life. They really struggle because their soul is splotched or smeared or even darkened by sin. To be really concrete, if you end up by committing a mortal sin, you got the three conditions of grave matter, full knowledge, full will. Then, certain sins, you commit a mortal sin, then you have rejected God. God is no longer your friend, but you've become an enemy to God. So until you make that step of reconciliation with the Lord through a good sacramental confession, prayer of petition or supplication or even thanksgiving is rendered inefficacious, if not almost useless. In fact, the only form or mode of prayer that would be efficacious when you, if you commit a mortal sin, is that of contrition or repentance. It's like if I punch you and I give you a black eye. Following them, I'm not going to come up and you say, by the way, could you lend me $500? Obviously, I'm going to apologize for giving you a black eye. Then perhaps I can ask you to lend me $500. So in a certain sense, when we commit a mortal sin, we're giving God a black eye. And that we don't want to do. Rather, we want to show God that we really love God. We want to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's right. We want to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Therefore, my friends, to conclude, the first point is there is an intimate connection between an efficacious, dynamic, growing prayer life and having purity of heart, mind, soul. And that comes through making good sacramental confessions. As Windex is to the window pane, so is confession in the blood of Christ to the dirty soul. All right, let's move on. The next thing I'd like to suggest in growing in our prayer life is the following. Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint Teresa of Avila was the first woman doctor of the first woman doctor in the Catholic Church, proclaimed by Pope Paul VI in 1970. 52 years ago. And then St. Catherine of Siena would come along, then St. Therese later on. St. Teresa of Avila she's known to be the doctor of prayer. It's true that all saints have been men and women of deep and fervent prayer. No doubt about that. All saints. You can't find a saint that did not have a deep prayer life. Therefore, we're called to become saints. Jesus says, be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. This is the will of your Heavenly Father, your sanctification. St. Paul to the Thessalonians. We're all called to become holy. We're not going to attain holiness if we don't have this desire, this effort on our part to keep growing in our prayer life. So St. Teresa of Avila, who with St. John of the Cross was instrumental in reforming the Carmelite order, most specifically by insisting upon growing in prayer, because many of the nuns had given up cultivating a really serious prayer life. So she insisted the Reformation will come about by more silence, smaller communities, and a fervent and intense prayer life. So Teresa of Avila, the doctor of the prayer, said this, that young women that were called to the religious life, to the Carmelite way of life, she said that they had to be capable of reading. Now you might think, big deal. Big deal. Because we're living in the year 2022. But if we go back 500 years ago, in the world in general, and even Europe, where there was probably more education than other places, still most people did not know how to read and write. And why was it that Teresa of Avila wanted these women to be able to read and write? For the simple reason that she believed that a young woman that could read and write, once the young woman got her hands on good books on prayer, to Teresa of Avila got one. I think it was called the ABCs of Prayer Life by some pious author before her. And she said she really learned how to meditate by good reading on the topic of prayer. How true that is. So she believed that if these young women could read, then they could, in a certain sense, educate themselves. And I'll give you a concrete modern example of that. One of the most known oblates that is that's living today is Father Timothy Gallagher, who's written extensively on many topics, but especially Ignatian spirituality. He's giving a lot of retreats and seminars to priests and seminarians. He's been on EWTN for many years, doing a lot of good. But I remember one occasion, I think we're just having a conversation with him at the table because he's one of our oblate priests and brothers. Remember he said that when he was going to school in New York, I think he was probably a teenager, maybe 13 or 14, he prayed, but he didn't really know too much about mental prayer or meditation. I think it was one of the priests there in Binghamton, New York, suggested that he get a hold of a book, classic, written by St. Francis de Sales. And the name of that book is Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales. Father Tim said as a teenager, by getting a hold of that spiritual classic and reading it, he was already introduced to the art of meditation, the art of mental prayer. The art of meditation, the art of mental prayer. And that was planting the seeds of a future vocation to the religious life of the oblates as well as the priesthood. So I thought I'd share that example of Teresa of Avila as well as Father Timothy Gallagher on the importance of growing in our prayer life. But most specifically, I'm honing in on this topic. We want to get a hold. We want to get a hold of some really good books on prayer, and read through them, and study them, and try to learn from these books. My friends, a lot of things are going on in the world that are not that good. However, I'd like to say over the past 50 years, after the past 50 years, I would say we live in a golden epoch, a golden era of good literature. There's a lot of good literature out there. A lot of good literature out there, among which would be literature on prayers. And I'm referring to a classic by Saint Francis de Sales, Introduction to the Devout Life. He also wrote a treatise on prayer, on the love of God, which is also related to prayer. When I was studying in Rome, at the Angelicum, My fourth year professor was Father Jordan Ellman, OP, Dominican priest. Remember, he would often say to us, because I was getting, my fourth year was spiritual theology, which he said is the queen of all disciplines in theology, would be spiritual theology. He said that we as followers of Christ, we have to read and read and read and read. Read and read and read and read. My friends, among our best friends, amen, among our best friends should be the literary world of books. Today it might be online articles or Kindle or whatever it might be, but the importance of reading and studying, absorbing and learning. Therefore, I really believe what Teresa of Avila said is key to us. Very often we don't know how to we don't pray well because we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. So this ignorance in the whole environment of prayer can easily lead us into praying poorly or even giving up prayer. Now, building on this topic of prayer and literature, some of you might be thinking, okay, Father Broom, I hear you. And you already mentioned St. Francis de Sales, Introduction to the Devout Life, and Treatise on Love. Fine. Well, what else, some of you might say, well, what else might you, what other literature might you recommend to help us to upgrade and grow in our prayer life? Okay, good question. And I'll respond to that. So I mentioned Introduction to the Devout Life of Teresa of Avila. Given that our charism is promoting good literature and I have a degree in literature, this is kind of my forte. When start to talk about literature, I really enjoy it very much, and I have a certain proficiency in that area. So I would strongly recommend that all of you in this Perseverance family, and you can share my talk to others, we should all read or have read or even read again what I would consider the greatest of all the works of Pope John Paul II, John Paul the Great. Honestly, I've read most of the encyclicals of John Paul II. I've read them in time, I had to go back and read them again. Redentor Hominus, Deus in Misericordia, Mater Redentoris, the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary. I've read most of the writings of John Paul II, his documents, his encyclicals. However, this would have to be said. I honestly believe that all the writings of Pope John Paul II, his greatest would be the publication of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That's right. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, I would call it his Opus Dei, his Opus Magnum, his greatest work, which is published in the early 90s. Under the supervision of the head of the Congregation of Faith, of the Doctrine of the Faith, which would be Cardinal Ratzinger, would go on to become Pope Benedict XVI. So the Catechism of the Catholic Church can be an invaluable resource for all of us to get to know our faith better, but also the whole idea of prayer. Being involved in catechism almost my whole life, there are what are called local catechisms. For example, the Baltimore Catechism, which was a classic in the United States and still is. Catechism of Father Ripalda in Mexico, Father Ripalda, would be the Spanish version of the Baltimore Catechism, question and answers. However, there have only been two universal catechisms in the 2,000 years of Catholicism. They would be the Catechism of the Council of Trent. Yesterday we talked about St. Robert Bellarmino, or Bellarmine, who was a great preacher and teacher against the Protestant Reformation. But the Council of Trent published the first universal catechism, and it's called the Catechism of the Catechism of the Council of Trent. The second would be Pope John Paul II's publication of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It came out in the early 90s. We in the parish of St. Peter Chanel, when it came out, me and Father Larry and Father Al Hall, remember, we spent a whole year explaining the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We actually made photocopies and gave the copies to the people in the old church building. And our homilies were based on trying to explain to the people the content of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Now, with reference to prayer, any good catechism should be systematic, it should be integral, it should be complete. There are actually four pillars. This is worthy of memorizing. There are four pillars that constitute, that compose any good catechism, be it local or be it universal. And that would be dogma, sacraments, morality, and prayer. I repeat, dogma, sacraments, morality or conduct of life, and finally prayer. So by reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we're getting to know our faith. The dogmatic part would be what we pray in the Creed on every Sunday Mass. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, which the Catechism explains that word by word in detail. Then the sacraments. Going through the seven sacraments of the Catholic Church. Their origin, their biblical foundation, the minister, the matter, the form, as well as the effects that are produced by the sacraments. Then the moral part, my friends, The moral part, my friends, would be the Catechism of the Catholic Church explains in great detail how to live a morally upright life by explaining in detail the Ten Commandments, the whole concept of conscience, the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, the moral or cardinal virtues of justice and temperance and prudence and fortitude, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord, and the whole reality of sin. As Pope Pius XII says, the sin of the century is the loss of the sense of sin. The sin of the century is the loss of the sense of sin. And then, with reference to our topic this morning, and those who are tuning in, I'm trying to explain St. Paul's letter to Timothy, in which he invites us to pray. Offer up prayers of supplication and petition and thanksgiving for all people, but especially for world leaders. And Paul says we should lift up holy hands in prayer at all times, without anger or quarrels. Because if we're angry or quarreling, that will diminish the efficacy of our prayer life. God wants us to have our hearts at peace. So the fourth part of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and the fourth part of any good catechism for that matter, refers to the reality of prayer. Any good catechism will always have an exposition on the reality of prayer. And usually part of it will be to explain prayer in detail, but also we'll take the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, which is the Our Father. The Lord's Prayer, which is the Our Father. And take the seven petitions of the Our Father and just explain it in great detail. Parenthetically, incidentally, one of the spiritual masterpieces of Saint Teresa of Avila, and I was going to mention Teresa of Avila as another source. This can be another talk. Is Teresa of Avila wrote much on prayer. That's why she's known as the Doctor of Prayer. But one of her works, Spanish, is called Camino de Perfección. Camino de Perfección, or the Way of Perfection, is actually, it's a spiritual masterpiece on the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, that is to say, on the Our Father itself. Where Teresa of Avila just takes the words of the Our Father and explains it in great detail. So, my friends, I think it's very important that we cultivate, we work on growing in our prayer life. I've actually written down 10 different suggestions. I've only gotten to 2 of the 10 suggestions. In growing in our prayer life, I'll be able to maybe address the others in a later perseverance conversation. I feel that this topic of prayer, I've got so much to say because prayer is a matter of life and death. Prayer is a matter of life and death, and giving you that little phrase that I put together, which basically says it all. What air is to our lungs, so prayer is to our soul. We don't breathe. We die. Spiritually, if we don't pray, we die. We pray poorly, our spiritual life will be shabby. It'll be mediocre. I love to quote the saints. I'd like to quote one of my favorite passages or phrases on prayer by the great Saint Augustine on prayer. And let's pray for each other that we really take seriously our conversation. Invite you to share my talk with your friends so that they can start on the pathway of prayer. That's why I start the 10-week spiritual exercises program yesterday, which is really a school of prayer. And Saint Augustine says this. He who prays well lives well. He who lives well dies well. He who dies well, all is well. So I will pray for you, and you pray for me that we would grow on a daily basis in our prayer life. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Great blessings today.